Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Xin Qiao, and I'm a PhD student in Clemson University. Today, I will talk about develop an effective sensor-based irrigation scheduling technique for cotton production in coastal plain soils. I would like to recognize my co-authors, Dr. Ahmed Khalilin, Dr. Jose Payero, Dr. Yang Han, and Dr. Charles Privet. I would also like to acknowledge the support and help from Cotton Incorporated and NASA. So in the past 10 years, irrigated acres in South Carolina, it has been continuously increased. Since 1992, the irrigated acres has increased 137%. So why people start to increase their irrigated acres? During a 6-year study in Clemson, we found that irrigation can increase cotton yield by an average of 65%, which is over $400 per acre. But water resource that's limited, and there were drought periods in the past years, and right now states were been fighting for water resources. So in such condition, it is necessary to have a better irrigation management to conserve water, which brings us to sensor-based irrigation. Well, in South Carolina, there are some challenges if you're using sensor-based irrigation. This picture, challenge one will be high spatial variation. This picture were taken in the same time, in the same field, just different location. So you can see that the cotton on the left, it has a significantly higher yield compared to cotton on the right. The cotton on the left that's grown on heavier soil, and the cotton on the right that's grown on sandier soil. Every input was the same, and the field was rain-fed. So the only difference was water holding capacity of the two soil types. So it is not wise to put the same amount of water to these two soil types, which is why we need a variable rate irrigation system. I mean, sensor-based variable rate irrigation system. So you wanted to have soil moisture sensors to calculate your irrigation rates for different soil types, and then apply these different amount of irrigation for these different soil types. However, lots of farmers, they don't have access to this technology, and soil moisture sensors could be expensive. So if you don't have the variable rate irrigation system, and you only have a limited number of sensors, where to put your sensors? Which soil type do you schedule your irrigation? You calculate based on sandier soil or heavier soil? And also, what kind of sensor you should use, considering both cost and accuracy, which was our objective one and two. The sensor we mentioned, that's ground-based sensor technology. And these technologies, it's mature. I mean, they are all commercially available. But there are some disadvantages. Like, it can only give you a pinpoint information over your whole field. So let's see, if you have a very large field with high degree of variability, and you want the soil water status of your whole map, you will need a lot of sensors to accomplish this goal, which could be very time and money consuming. The NASA, they have developed a remote sensing technology which has the potential of overcome this difficulty. Okay, so basically this system, it utilizes free GPS signal, which is available everywhere. And they found that when the GPS signal, when it hits water, about 66% will be reflected back. When it hits dry soil, nothing will be reflected back. So based on this theory, they developed a system by having two antennas, which is, what's the cursor? By having two antennas, and there is one antenna facing to the sky which receives direct signal, and one antenna facing to the ground which receives reflected back signal. And after these two signals is being collected, it will be sent to a microcomputer and calculate a parameter called reflectivity. So if your field is wet, you supposedly will have a higher reflectivity. If your field is dry, you will have a lower reflectivity. So our third objective was to see if actually we can use this technology for irrigation scheduling in actual cotton production field. The first part of my experiment, it was focusing on objective 1 and 2. So first, divide the field into different soil management zones based on soil electrical conductivity. As Austin said, this is soil EC that's closely related to clay content. So we had four zones in 2012 and three zones in 2013. The picture on the left, it shows the equipment we were using, and the picture on the right showed the management zones we have in 2013. I'll explain this picture later in detail. We had five irrigation treatments in 2012 and four in 2013, and it was applied using a randomized complete block design. In 2013, treatment 1 to 3 was irrigation rates calculated based on sensor readings from zone 1 to zone 3. So let's go back to the previous slide. These red dots, it showed the sensor location. So we have four sensors installed in zone 1, which is light green, which is a light green color in this picture, that's lighter soil, and four sensors installed in medium soil, which is zone 2, and four sensors installed in heavier soil, which is zone 3. And then we calculate irrigation rates based on the four sensors in zone 1, and that will be treatment 1. And then we calculate irrigation rates based on the four sensors from zone 2 and treatment 2, and so on for treatment 3. And treatment 4 will be ET-based irrigation scheduling. In 2012, we had four management zones, so irrigation treatment 1 to 4 will be irrigation rates calculated based on zone 1 to zone 4. And treatment 5 will be ET-based irrigation scheduling. The moisture sensor we used include Dekigon EC5 and a Watermark, and the Centec EZAG probe and the Neutron probe as a reference. The Dekigon and the Centec probe was calibrated against actual soil moisture content, and the Watermark, it was calibrated using a local developed soil tension curve. Because we don't have a data logger for the Centec probe, so during the field test, only the Dekigon and the Watermark sensor, it was installed. They were installed side by side at three depths. And in the same time, neutron probe data at the same depth, it was collected as a reference. To see if the GPS system is working for our purpose, we mount the GPS system on our lateral system. And while the lateral was moving, we collect the GPS reflectivity signal and also actual soil moisture content, as well as crop stress parameters, such as leaf water potential and leaf stomatal conductance to see if there is any relationship. From the calibration results, it showed that both Dekigon and Centec, it had a very good relationship with the actual soil moisture content. However, the slope of the Dekigon, that's better compared to the Centec. It has a better one-to-one line. During the field test, the Dekigon also showed better results compared to Watermark. It has a higher R-square and a lower root mean square error. This is compared to compared to data from a neutron probe. Same result in at 20 inches, the Dekigon performed better as well. If you consider the cost of each sensor per site, in our case we have three sensors for three depths, so the Dekigon, it gives a relatively lower price, but it has a very good accuracy. So our conclusion was Dekigon EC5 was the best among all the sensors we tested. In 2012 and in 2013 also, we had a lot of rainfall, which was just not very good for irrigation study. In 2012, we had a total rainfall of 20.2 inches, and the average yield, it was actually very high. It was over 1,800 pounds per acre. In 2013, although the total rainfall was only 2 inches more, but the average yield was significantly lower. The reason for this was probably because in 2012, from planting to first square, there was 5.9 inches of total rainfall. However, in 2013, from planting to first square, we had 14.5 of rainfall, and it actually creates water lodging problem in the field, which prohibited plant development. This graph is showed the total irrigation the total irrigation rates for each treatment. There was not much difference between treatment in 2012. However, in 2013, which is a very, very wet year, irrigation treatment one, which is irrigation rates calculated based on sensor from sandier soil, the total irrigation rate was 2.6 inches. And based on medium soil, it was 0.5 inches. And based on clay, it said, I don't need any irrigation. And based on ET, it was 3.6 inches. There was no treatment effect on yield in zone 1 and zone 2. However, in zone 3 and zone 4, which is higher EC zone, where you have more clay content, if you schedule your irrigation based on treatment 3 and 4, you're not going to hurt your yield. But if you schedule your irrigation based on treatment 2, which is based on lighter soil, you're going to hurt your yield significantly. There is no treatment effect of between treatment 1, 3, and 4, but numerically, treatment 3 and 4, it gives a higher yield. In terms of water use efficiency, there was no treatment effect in 2012. In 2013, still we didn't see any treatment effect, but it was interesting that in each zone, if you schedule your irrigation based on the sensor from that zone, you are going to have the best yield in that zone. So in this case, in zone 1, treatment 1 has the highest yield, and in zone 2, treatment 2 has the highest yield, and in zone 3, treatment 3 has the highest yield. For water use efficiency, treatment 2 and 3 had a significantly higher water use efficiency compared to treatment 1 and 4, which means if you schedule your irrigation based on heavier soil, you are going to get significantly higher water use efficiency. We also found that the cotton lint yield, it increases linearly with soil EC. The reason for this was probably because as your soil EC increases, your nutrients content it's higher in higher EC zones. So our conclusion was during wet season, we suggest you to put your sensor in heavier soil zones, but this may not be true during a dry year. Second, soil EC had a significant effect on your cotton lint yield. For the GPS experiment, under bare soil condition, we saw a good correlation between reflectivity and soil moisture content. However, when we moved to a real cotton production field, the correlation was actually very low, either in 4 inches and 8 inches. And we didn't see any correlation between water potential and reflectivity, nor soil moisture conductance with reflectivity. Though the trend was correct, I mean, it should be a negative trend. So our conclusion was GPS reflectivity, it doesn't have a correlation with soil moisture content or crop stress parameters in real cotton production field. And the reason for this was probably because the canopy effect and the soil roughness effect. And this will be our next step experiment to try to quantify these effects. That's all. Do I have
a
question? Yes.
Do you think the GPS sensor would work for turf or something like that?
I think probably it will be better because right now we don't know the effect of canopy cover. So I actually, if I would assume maybe turf will be better because it's more flat. It's not like cotton. The only problem is we don't know where the reflectivity is bounced back. That's the hard part.
Any other questions? All right.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.